Harsh reality of the fantastic element. When he began the preparation of Donkey Skin in 1969, upon returning from the United States, Jacques Demy dreamed of a shimmering, luxurious film. The marvelous, the fantastic element at the heart of his worldview was going to find in this film of magic a logical fulfillment, even though the filmmaker had to recognize that magic is expensive. Imagining a number of dolly shots and boom movements, he wanted to give his staging a Hollywood look, which he had precisely refused in his American film, Model Shop. But Mag Bodar, the producer, could not raise the necessary money, and she was obliged to revise downwards. It was this thwarted dream, and an obligatory simplification, that was going to enable Demy to strike the miraculous balance of Donkey Skin, an inspired mixture of makeshift and magic. Sets. In the middle of the forest, a few unexpected objects contrast sharply with the natural setting and suffice to create a magical world. A mirror, a telephone. Similarly, the great walls of the rooms at Chambord were simply covered with ivy. Ornamentation remains limited to the stained glass windows and to precise set elements in vast interior spaces, beds, folding screen, thrones, mirror. Donkey Skin's bed was supposed to be a huge flower opening and closing at bedtime. But when it came time for the shooting, the mechanism did not work. Jacques Demy related, "I had noticed two stags downstairs in the entry of Chambord. We had them brought up and made the bed from them, improvising the rest. In the end, the fake stags, guardians of a bed set in the middle of the room, rhymed with the deer seen at the fairy's home, and added to the film's rich bestiary. Already, in this sketch drawn by Demy in his youth, the stag's antlers are mixed up with the trees, blending animal and vegetal, like a foreshadowing of Donkey Skin's castle." Costumes. A characteristic peculiar to the fantastic element, the film frees itself from any precise historical reference, and, as in Michel Legrand's music, combining harpsichord and electric, styles and epochs coexist. The princess's Louis XV dresses and the Prince Henry II's costume. Classic elements, such as the ruff and vaporous Hollywood star negligee for the lilac fairy. The king's exaggerated puff sleeves, whose form and volume take inspiration from compositions by Eisenstein or Wells. Everything is distributed and composed round a strong idea. One royal family in red and the other in blue. Agostino Pace remembers this chromatic division. "We agreed together that we would paint all the elements, from faces to furniture, by way of the horses." Demy called on Pace, a stage costume designer, who designed the main characters' costumes, whereas Gite Magrini, costume designer for Antonioni and Bertolucci, was in charge of conceiving them and having them made in Italy. An important influence was the painter and stage designer Leonor Fini, who inspired Cocteau and the Surrealists, and whom Demy met in November 1969. The memory of her animal disguises and other phantasmagorical frenzies hover over the film's costumes and universe, particularly the Cats and Birds Ball. Dresses. The highlight of the show, the princess's dresses had to defy the imagination, since even the lilac fairy did not think that was possible. No less than 10 dresses were planned, as opposed to only 4 different costumes for the prince. The first drawings bring out voluminous puff forms, similar to the king's costume, like father, like daughter. With all the decorative excess necessary, one must feel the fabrics, wrote Demy in his preparatory notes. brocades, sequins, diamonds, veils, crystals, pearls, etc. Simple but bright colors. Childish illustrations, closer to Disney than to good taste, or more Disney than Gustave Doré. And although it is a real donkey skin that the fleeing princess wears over her shoulders, the weather-colored dress was a creation from start to finish, made of the same material as movie screens, and thereby the ideal support for any kind of projection. Projection in the film, the dress showing weather and clouds, or the projections of the spectator, who did not believe that was possible either. Special effects. Unlike a special effect made later in a laboratory, a process shot, according to Demy, had to keep an artisanal or primitive side, created during the shooting, if possible. Sometimes it was the cinematographic language itself that served as trick and became magical again. The doubling of donkey skin into princess in the cabin, by the soul thanks to the angle-reverse angle and hooting script. The carriage that turns back into a pumpkin, owing to a simple cut-in of one shot to another. The handwritten list of process shots gives an idea of their importance, their variety, and their simplicity. Appearances, disappearances. Transformations. Slow motion, combined with a forward or backwards action. Speeded up action. Magic wand. Stopped characters. Demy, a contemporary of the New Wave, and he too, heir to the realistic cinema of the Lumière brothers, also says what his art owes to Méliès, his phantasmagoria, and his visible transformations. Inspirations. The fantastic element in donkey skin depends on this balance between magic and realism, at the same time that it is nurtured by a legendary story and a whole iconography that preceded it. Old engravings, magic lantern plates, silent cinema, a legend and an imaginary universe that take root in the romantic tradition of 19th century France. As if by magic, i.e. with the greatest naturalness, the contemporary influence of the hippie style, which Demy witnessed during his stay in Los Angeles, incorporated itself into this old tradition. Counterculture and psychedelics light up the dream sequence, in which the lovers want to do what is forbidden and smoke the pipe in hiding, where strange colored flowers grow in the fields, where open-air banquets make wine flow. As for the flowered beard of the Red King, it certainly evokes Charlemagne, but perhaps even more, in the late 1960s, a decidedly hegemonic flower power. And as if to authenticate this link, Jim Morrison in person, lead singer of The Doors, came to visit the set at Chambord, a moment immortalized by Agnès Varda's camera. Film memories, childhood memories. Jacques Demy saw The Devil's Envoys at the age of 11, the vision of a stylized Middle Ages and perception of a poetic realism transposed in a France of troubadours and evil creatures. But above all, it was Jean Cocteau's Beauty and the Beast that he and Pache watched several times during the preparation of the film. The presence of Jean Marais, the Beast's costume, living decors, tricks, a mysterious path in the forest, a magic formula, the role of mirrors. Jacques Demy was 6 when he saw Snow White and the 7 Dwarves. He would remember the glass casket, the song, the cake, the friendly presence of forest animals. For donkey skin, Demy also rethought Cinderella, her fairy godmother and advisor, and the pretty foot gliding into the glass slipper, and Sleeping Beauty. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Right from the titles, a book appears in homage to the story's literary origins. Then the illustration on the first page moves. The writing becomes film. The fixed image becomes animated. One can remain prisoner of the freeze frame. Similarly, the mirrors, this frozen water, to borrow Claudel's expression, keep the characters caught up in the contemplation of their reflection, like an image in its frame. But the mirror is two-sided, also becoming a projection surface. Donkey Skin, thus seeing her father, the king, as if with a spy camera. Donkey Skin gazing at her reflection in the water of the pond, like Narcissus, and hoping for a Prince Charming, who arrives in the following shot. And when the prince takes his magnifying glass to examine the ring of his beloved, who then appears in his room. Looking in a mirror provokes the projection. The surface becomes a screen, as if cinema had already been invented at the time of kings and queens. The Crossing. As in the mirror or in a reflection, the other is a double, a projection of oneself. The prince splits himself to enter his dream, just like Donkey Skin to make her cake. But the mirror, as Cinnamon knows since Cocteau, is also a secret passage to another world. And this passage carries out a veritable metamorphosis in everyone. Only then can the tale come to an end, having itself achieved its transformative power that can only be brought about by its reading or viewing, its projection. At the very end of the film, the ugly Donkey Skin slips to the ground and reveals the sun-colored dress. The prince grasps the hand of his princess and leads her to his father and mother, or rather, towards the camera, which has taken the place of the parents. Then we are on the terrace at Chambord. Demi links in the movement. The young couple, now seen from behind, finishes its advance. The prince and Donkey Skin have gone to the other side of the mirror and completed their metamorphosis. Like Alice, the marvelous lovers henceforth know that mirrors are made for being crossed. The Clean and Dirty. The clean and the beautiful will therefore be the measure of all things, and ugliness or filth a veritable obsessive fear. The fairy's proposal to cover her goddaughter with the donkey skin becomes a transgression, dressing in a smelly skin, covering one's face with soot, living on a farm run by a shrew who spits out toads. Logically, it is the laundresses, personifications of cleanliness, who begin by mocking Donkey Skin. Thanks to her magic wand, Donkey Skin will make her cabin a transitory place, a place of her own, and quite singular, since cleanliness and dirt rub shoulders indiscriminately, luxury and poverty, earthen jars and splendid armchair. The film critic Serge Danet noted that the song of the love cake was like the film's fold. Midway through Donkey Skin's journey between the two castles, it makes the princess and the slattern coexist at that moment. Child, where are you? Donkey Skin is a tale for children, but there are hardly any children in the film, and barely more in Jacques Demy's other films. If little ones are as unobtrusive in a universe, however allotted to the world of childhood, it is because adults have taken their place. Donkey Skin changes dresses in her cabin as if she were playing with dolls, and bakes her love cake as if she were playing merchant. The prince throws tantrums and sulks, and his face brightens only when he admits his secret dream. I'd like Donkey Skin to make me a cake. The princess and the prince seem even more to be constantly performing, as if acting out a Christmas pageant for their parents, a comedy of innocence and a song of happiness. But happiness is only a dream, and childhood is often solitary. I need calm. I didn't say I needed company, says the prince. And his relationship with the princess is less one of lovers than one of brother and sister, in which again we find the specter of incest. The sublimation of sexual relations, a constant in Demy's work, masks a taboo whose price is melancholy. Demy would end up eliminating these lyrics, doubtless overly explicit. We shall do what is forbidden, until exhaustion, until boredom. One can be both parent and child. Catherine Deneuve plays the queen and her daughter. No offspring, but an identical reproduction or self-begetting. The only procreation at work in Donkey Skin, the sole successful transformation, is the making of the cake. For although the princess must return to a slattern before getting back her royal finery, what did she gain from this ordeal? Whereas every fairy tale or fantastic story presents a transformation, emancipation of its character, Demy's film remains ambiguous, and morality is not necessarily intact. It is easy for the lilac fairy to forbid incest for questions of culture and legislature, but there remains a delighted smile on the princess's face when her father finally finds her again and assures her that, henceforth, we shall never leave each other again.